Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Have you ever gotten robocalls or mail saying that you're pre-approved for loans or credit cards? Oh, if you have, let me just tell you that thieves, both foreign and domestic, may have you in their sights. And it's the equity in your home, believe it or not, that they want. Well, it's called home title fraud. It's one of the fastest growing crimes in the United States. And it's where thieves are after your money and they get it by forging your home's title. So it ends up looking like you sold your home, even though you didn't. Then they'll take out loans against your home and stick you with all the payments. It's a nightmare. No insurance, bank, or identity theft program protects you, though. But Home Title Lock does. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's online title and mortgage, and it helps keep thieves away. Again, if you've received robocalls or mail for pre-approved credit cards or loans, you need to move fast. You can receive 60 risk-free days of Home Title Lock protection now by going to HomeTitleLock.com. Register your address to verify that you're not already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com.
Your life, your country. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast.
Donald Trump is responsible for this.
He doesn't just tolerate it, he encourages it.
There are mentally unstable people in this country who see that as a sign to do terrible things.
There is a consequence to the words that the President of the United States speaks.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America.
You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast. We have a lot to get to. Of course, tragedy hit both hit both El Paso and Dayton over the weekend, and the despicable use of these horrific losses of life to score political points will be exposed on this podcast. What the left is trying to do to squelch free speech, to, circumscribe free association, to try to limit your rights, your Second Amendment rights, across the board, they are the anti-freedom party. I have just got to conclude that after listening to the most incendiary, inflammatory rhetoric in the wake of these shootings. Trying to connect the dots to find that Donald Trump is somehow, he might as well have pulled the trigger himself in El Paso because he's so much at fault. Despite the fact that we know what we know about the shooter in Dayton. Do you think we're on the air saying Elizabeth Warren is to blame for the shooting in Dayton? No, she's not. It was the act of a madman who, if he didn't have a gun, would have followed the very easy instructions on the internet as to how to build a pressure cooker bomb or assemble a car bomb or whatever they want to do to wreak carnage and to get their 5 minutes of fame. So we're going to talk about why it's so wrong to publicize names and put faces up of the killers. We didn't do that on the Ingraham angle. We will not show their faces. We will not mention their names. We will talk about those who lost their lives and the heroism and the bravery of the first responders. But we will not give any type of promotion to or recognition of their twisted, warped, evil views. Whether you're a white nationalist or an eco-terrorist, whatever you believe that you think justifies killing people, you have no place in American society. No place in any civilized society, and we should all in unity call that out. But that's not enough for the Democrats, because they want to take you and your views and brand you as evil as the people who pulled these triggers. Because you actually support Trump, or you listen to Trump, or you have a television show, or you're a pundit on television, and you say, wait a second. Isn't it the case that the ban on assault weapons did nothing to reduce gun violence in the United States? In fact, that whole thing about assault weapons it's a misnomer. Actually, factually look at the situation. If people decide they want to ban assault weapons, they want to ban assault weapons. But do not try to demonize good Americans who support this president or a president of the United States who believes in the rule of law and calls out all acts of criminality, as he has. This is what Joe Biden said yesterday about President Trump's only supposed recent condemnation of white nationalism. Let's listen.
And for the first time, today, the first time I've ever heard him say he condemns white supremacy, white terrorism.
Oh, really? First time? Well, this is President Trump 2 and 3 years ago.
I've rejected David Duke. I've rejected the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. From the time I'm 5 years old, I rejected them.
The neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, they should be condemned totally. Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
Joining us now, I'm delighted he's with us, Dr. Bill Donahue, President and CEO of the Catholic League. And he's written so much about matters of spiritual barrenness, where this leads us. And, of course, the great book, Common Sense Catholicism, How to Resolve Our Cultural Crisis. Bill, this is so predictable in the wake of these horrors. But the New York Times, Elizabeth Warren, other Democrat candidates essentially calling for boycotts of Fox News and primetime shows. You can imagine who that's targeting.
Yeah, it's amazing how I know it's a presidential season, but to politicize these two tragedies is astounding. And, you know, they're misleading the American people. There is something that we can do about this. We have to have a proper diagnosis of this and to look at the kind of profile that exists here with these mass shooters. But the idea of blaming Republicans and Democrats about this is really pretty cheap. And we're never going to resolve anything by doing this. As far as I am concerned, I've looked at this stuff over the years. I've taught criminology and the like. I talk about the three B's, beliefs, bonds, and boundaries. Now, if you take a look at the killer in Dayton, we know that he was into Satanism. That much has been demonstrated. I don't know about the man in El Paso. In terms of the question, and almost all of the people who have been involved in mass shootings, by the way, have had no religion or they are atheistic. And I'm not saying because you're an atheist, you're a mass shooter. I'm saying that the people who are the mass shooters tend not to have any religion. They tend to be fully deracinated and rootless. That's the bonds element. They have no relationship with their family or friends. They tend to be loners, which is the exact word that has been used now to describe these two men. They didn't have too many friends. They have a dysfunctional relationship with their father, if they have any at all, and they suffer from what's called an antisocial personality. And the final thing is boundaries. They don't believe in boundaries. These people just are excited to go out there and do this, and this is something I want people to understand. A lot of these guys suffer from, particularly the guy in Las Vegas who did that mass shooting there, they are absolutely, totally bored with life. Everyone's looking for a political motive. They liked it. They liked to light up the sky. Obviously, they had some disorders. I'm not saying they didn't. But sometimes we look too deep, looking for some political notion or ideology, or the idea of blaming Trump or conservatives. We know that the guy in El Paso, now they're trying to say that he was, a right-winger of some sort. I think that stuff is overblown. A right-winger is not in favor of universal health care. A right-winger is not bashing the corporations constantly. A right-winger is not an extremist on the environment. That's what the guy was in El Paso. What about the guy in Dayton? He was out there, very far out there. He believed in, he was heralding Antifa. This guy was very much on the left. Now, even I won't say that it's left ideology, or for that matter, right ideology.
We don't do that. We don't do that, Bill. They do that.
Yeah, we got to be careful. And let me tell you one final thing I want to mention here. It's not just this idea of demonizing people who are white, and that's part of what's going on here. Take a look at the language being used now. They're talking about Christian nationalism. And there's a book be coming out pretty soon by a professor of sociology at Clemson, and he's arguing that that's the problem. It's Christian nationalism, which intersects with white nationalism, which is the problem in this country. And this is really a left-wing agenda to get the onus off the backs of the people who are really responsible for this. It's deadly. And by the way, the people promoting this, they're all atheists. I've documented this.
Oh my gosh! It's so in these presidential candidates. Trump's a combination, according to Beto O'Rourke and that Castro, Julian Castro. Trump is a combination of like Pol Pot, Stalin, Hitler, David Duke. It's, you know, it's absolutely disgusting. And Bill, I think what their language does is it stokes and inflames the worst in people. What they're accusing Trump of, and I'm not saying Trump's perfect. I'm not. Everybody loses, you know, their cool every now and then, I'm sure, in the white hot spotlight. But in the aftermath of this tragedy, before the bodies were even carried out of the Walmart in El Paso and from that outside of the club in Dayton, they were calling him the most reprehensible names and claiming that he was responsible for this. I think that has a real, you know, negative effect on the national conversation and gets people really hot. And I, you know, if you have Pol Pot as your president, like, well, you're gonna have a lot of nuts out there who think, well, it's time to assassinate the president. I'm really worried about that.
Well, they're trivializing genocide. Pol Pot killed 40% of his population. Proportionately greater than anything Hitler or Stalin or Mao did. So if Trump is Pol Pot, I guess, you know, that makes Pol Pot look fairly innocent. And that's the danger in this. People are throwing around words like Beto O'Rourke is talking about. He's using the language of the Third Reich.
Nazi Germany.
They're cheapening what happened to Jews in Nazi Germany.
But they don't care,
Bill. What happens to
they don't care, right? They don't care because they don't know history. They have no sense of the sweep of history. They fundamentally are an anti-freedom party. They don't believe that the freedoms that they enjoy should be afforded to most Americans. Yeah, you know, whether it's free speech or free association or free expression or religious liberty, as long as it's an accepted church, a liberal church, or it's an accepted ideology, then it's okay. But if you're a conservative, forget it. I mean, you have a target on your back, and this is what they do. It's a game of intimidation, and they're the biggest bullies out there are the people on the left, and they try to bully these corporations, and it's just it's so negative. It's a lot of negative energy, and again, they claim that that's what conservatives are all about. I'm like, this is a good time to be an American, all things considered, and you'd never know it by listening to these folks.
That's right. They don't want to engage in any kind of psychosocial understanding of these shooters. They don't want to look at the sociological contours to our culture and why we have these kinds of problems. They resort to this cheap political gamesmanship. Look, I mean, I just read a figure today. This is what we should be talking about. Millennials in the United Kingdom, 89% say that their life has no meaning.
Yeah.
Now that's something that we can have a national discussion about. I suppose that Trump is to blame for that. Maybe they'll blame Boris Johnson for that over in England. But these things have nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with the deracination, the rootlessness of Western civilization. We have lost our Judeo-Christian heritage. We've ripped up the moorings, and what we have in place is what? Radical individualism and radical egalitarianism. Mm. That's the thing that's driving this whole situation here. We didn't have these kinds of problems back in, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. We may have had riots in the streets over perceived injustices dealing with war and race and things of that nature, but not this kind of situation where you have these young men who have no friends, who have no relationship with their family, and who are poisoned by the radical individualism of our culture. It has nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats, and anyone talking that way really doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Well, the piece in the Daily Wire about how atheism has become the largest religion in the United States, as religiosity has declined, social ills have grown exponentially. Look, you're right. If you feel like this is it, this is all you have, you know, it's hard when someone's alone 8 hours a day. Apparently, this shooter in El Paso described himself as someone who's on the internet 8 hours a day. No real social connections, no real relationships, just a screen. And then all the toxicity that's on the internet, all the hate that's on the internet, and parents who aren't engaged. And we're going to have a lot of suicide, which is at a 50-year high, I believe, right now in the country. And you're going to have a lot of violence, random acts of violence and depravity. And I think without a grounding and a moral, center, I think it's increasingly tough to keep your bearings in today's society.
Well, if you just take a look at three maladies, loneliness, depression, and suicide, those are the three which I examined in a book a few years ago, The Catholic Advantage. And I looked at, compare Hollywood celebrities, who are very free spirits, to cloistered nuns who are, according to today's logic, they're the least free beings in America. Well, guess who doesn't have a problem with loneliness and depression and suicide? The cloistered nuns.
Yeah.
Guess who does? The Hollywood celebrities, the free spirits. That's because the nuns have a connection, a bond with themselves in their community and with above, with God. And in Hollywood, there isn't any at all. It's all narcissism. So these things can be understood in this context. Now, I am encouraged that there are people talking about red flags, and even I'm not a fan of Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, but apparently he's getting together with Lindsey Graham to make some kind of progress. There has been some progress in some states on this. If there are people out there who do have these kinds of disorders and they own a weapon, we need to find out who they are. But I think we need to go beyond that, Laura. I do respect the civil liberties of people who have not been engaging in any kind of untoward behavior. But we all know, if you read these narratives, people who knew these shooters knew that there was something wrong with this guy, and they said, if there's anybody in my class who might have done something like this, it probably would have him. We need a hotline to get to counselors, not the police. Leave them out of there, because I have to respect the civil liberties of these kids. We need a hotline of get to people who can intervene, at least try to get some family member, whatever's left, to try and talk to the person and see how he's doing. Because right now we're talking about gun control, we're talking about other issues and whatnot. There are red flags all over the place. Again, I want to be emphasized, we have to protect their civil liberties, but to sit there and do nothing, you've got to give people an opportunity to at least dial in what they consider to be someone who looks like he's on the edge. That would help.
Our fellow Catholic Joe Biden said this yesterday.
This is a president who has said things no other president has said since Andrew Jackson. And the idea that doesn't contribute to or legitimate or make it more rational for people to think that we, in fact, can now speak out. We can speak out and be more straightforward, and we can make this an issue. We've been through this before. We've been through this before in the 20s with the Ku Klux Klan, 50,000 people walking down Pennsylvania Avenue in pointed hats and their robes, because they, in fact, decided they didn't want any Catholics coming into the country.
Your reaction to that?
Yeah, well, I guess according to that kind of logic, we have to regard Joe Biden as a racist, because he was once asked early on when he's dealing with Obama, what are the characteristics about him that you like? And he said, well, one of the things I like about him is that he's clean.
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African-American who was articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man.
Why don't we let Joe Biden explain what he means by that? Why would he call a black man clean, that that's one of his best attributes? According to his own logic, that would make him a racist. And, of course, he made the comment about, you can't go to a 7-Eleven without having an Indian serve you.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. It's a fully, I'm not joking. Oh, gigantic.
I think he was just saying something in jest. I don't think the man's a racist. But according to his logic, yes, that would be a racist comment. We had Ellen Pompeo of Grey's Anatomy last week was chastised as a racist because she said that Kamala Harris was, quote, overconfident. That made her a racist. She said Kamala Harris is overconfident. Therefore, you are a racist. This kind of madness, it may work in on the college campuses and in Hollywood and some aspects of the media, but I think that the average person whom I talk to, and I do speak to average people, not just elites, they see right through this. This is a game, and they can see right through it.
One in five millennials say they're lonely and have no friends, according to a new YouGov survey polling 1,254 adults aged 18 and older, found that 27% of them have no close friends, 25% have no acquaintances, and 22%, or one in five, have no buddies at all. That is heartbreaking. I mean, just
well, you can blame the parents for that to some extent, yeah. too. But let me be specific. How many times do I go to a restaurant and I see a family sitting there and they're all on their phones? They don't speak to each other. What's going on? How come people sit in the waiting room for a doctor instead of talking to each other? They're on their phones. How come people go into a pub, for that matter, and they're on their phones? They always want to be with the person whom they're not with. And as soon as they get to be with the person who they weren't with, they have to get involved with somebody else. This is the breakdown of social relationships. Now, I don't want any laws on this. I'm simply saying we have to have a national conversation on this. But the parents need to do a better job, too. If their kid is lonely, they should know it. And maybe it's because there isn't anybody there. Then other people need to intervene.
Bill Donahue, it is always just so refreshing to talk to you. It's like a cool breeze on a hot day to have Bill Donahue on. Bill, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
All right, as always. I want to talk to you about your skincare regimen, like what you guys do on a daily basis, okay? It's summertime. You still got about a month or so of summer left, and that means what? That means you have to take better care of your skin because you got the heat, the sun, the changes in humidity. It wreaks havoc on your skin. And that's where using MDL technology and Chamonix's proprietary base is where you can find real relief for your jawline, your into your neck area, that very sensitive skin that can give away your age. Well, guess what? You can have younger looking skin if you use the Chamonix line of products, Genucel's brand new jawline treatment. Cheryl from Fort Wayne, Indiana raves about it. She writes, wow, the first time she tried it, she could immediately feel the tightening sensation. She loves the way her skin looks, especially at the jawline. Well, results are guaranteed. You're going to receive 100% of your money back, no questions asked. Order now and Chamonix Genucel for bags and puffiness, also free with your order. And to start seeing results in 12 hours or less, Genucel Immediate Effects, also yours for free. So just go to genucel.com, that's GenuCel.com. Two free gifts and free express shipping at genucel.com. Pluto TV is the new leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. There's no credit card needed, no sign-up required. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. Pluto TV is free on all of your favorite devices. Download Pluto TV today. Welcome to the Laura Ingraham Podcast. Delighted you guys are all with us. Of course, in the wake of a tragedy, the left will blame Trump. Fox News, commentators, conservative pundits, conservatism for mass murder as they traffic in the most defamatory, libelous smears that only seek to heighten tensions, inflame passions, and hurt any sense and compromise any sense of unity or appropriate mourning for the occasion. Of course, we all know the horror that was visited upon both El Paso and Dayton, Ohio over the weekend with, at latest count, 31 innocent people gunned down. The just sheer evil of this cannot be understated. And the disgraceful response from Democrats who will do anything to try to get a leg up on Republicans or President Trump is just revolting.
He is a racist, and he stokes racism in this country.
Division and bigotry and fanning the flames of hate has been his political strategy.
The president has got to stop that racism and that xenophobia. Immediately.
Who uses the microphone in a way that is about sowing hate and division in our country.
Our president is a flaming racist. He's a piece of Donald Trump is an evil canker sore on America's whole landscape. So we need to get him out of office.
What, in your mind, could be worse after a tragedy than essentially greenlighting violence in the streets. That's what they're doing. By saying the president of the United States is a white supremacist, by using phrases like concentration camps, what does that do? Do you think that takes the temperature down and that it's a common sense, measured approach to complex issues facing the country? No. Their language is doing what they accuse Donald Trump of doing. John Legend is one of the most hateful, vicious people that cloaks himself in this veneer of tolerance and love and peace. His facial expression when he said that, that was the very end of that montage, was quite something to see. And by the way, the Dayton shooter, of course, his social media history is irrelevant. Of course, pro-Antifa, pro-Elizabeth Warren, pro-socialism, anti-corporate, anti-government, but pro-socialist, pro-Elizabeth Warren, pro-Antifa. But oh, well, we don't know anything about his motive. Only the El Paso nutbag who posted a supposed manifesto that was called Inconvenient Truth, which of course is Al Gore's book title. And he was also a big enviro crazy, as well as apparently hating Hispanic people. But trying to make heads or tails of what the online rantings are of people and then connecting dots back to politicians. I don't think Elizabeth Warren caused the shooting in Dayton. Donald Trump didn't cause the shooting in El Paso, and to say so is despicable. And Elizabeth Warren and Beto and Castro and all these people trying to resuscitate their lame campaigns on the deaths of 31 Americans is truly disgusting. And oh, by the way, New York Times calls for a boycott of Fox News. That's their big response. So Pentagon Papers, New York Times, all about the First Amendment, freedom of expression, more expressions better, wants to limit speech in the wake of a tragedy. David Horowitz is with us. Of course, writer extraordinaire, the author of the new book, Mortality and Faith, Reflections on a Journey Through Time. Best-selling author of so many books, Big Agenda, so many more. He joins us now to talk about this just hideous demonization and defamation from a party and a group of people who are just apparently done with debating issues and just are all about defaming people. David joins us now. David, welcome. Congrats on the book.
Well, thank you, Laura. And let me just begin by saying what a terrific job that you're doing. The Democratic Party is a party of hate, and you're one of their targets. It's not just Trump, but every conservative that stands up to them is attacked this way. And, of course, the real assault, their real agenda is an attack on America. I think the American people are going to be too wise for this, but they are a hateful lot.
No, well, they want to limit speech. They're an anti-freedom party. I think we have to call it what it is
what
right?
They are.
They're anti-freedom.
Yes. I mean, the most basic American freedom is free speech. Because if you don't have free speech, you can't defend any of your other freedoms. You know, they've already shut it down on college campuses. You can't go to a college campus as a conservative and expect to have a discussion. This is going to be a circus. But anyway, my book, Mortality and Faith, is really reflection. It's an autobiographical book, but it's filled with reflections on what it means to grow old. It opens with a moment I spent with my father when I was about 11 years old, and he just turned to me and said, "We begin to die the day we are born."
Let me read the part, Michael, of page 117. When the musical genius Mozart was 31, he had created hundreds of works of indescribable beauty, imparting happiness to countless individuals who came after him, including myself. But he was already only 4 years away from the end of his life, and while working on his famous Requiem Mass, he was stricken with a fatal illness that would easily be cured today. His death, which came swiftly, has been rightly called the greatest tragedy in the history of music, depriving us and generations not born of pleasures we can hardly imagine. And then you talk about the letter he wrote to his father when he was drawing his own last breaths. And he said, "As death is the real purpose of our life, for several years I've become closely acquainted with the true and best friend of our life, so that his image is not only no longer terrifying to me, but rather something very soothing and comforting. And I thank my God for affording me and his grace the opportunity of realizing that he is the key to our real happiness. And look, you know, I think we all, as we get older, we're all kind of marking time. And for Christians, we believe that this world is a temporary stopping place, and our eternal rest is coming, and the good life that we have to lead, we have to always kind of do an assessment of ourselves, an examination of conscience. And we all, as Catholics, we're supposed to do that regularly. I think he's touching on that in those comments.
Rightly lived, a religious life is a rewarding life. And a major theme of my book is that there are two types of faith. The fact that we know we're going to die creates a kind of problem for us. Are our lives utterly meaningless? Are we just dust in the wind, where everything is going to be forgotten? Or is there an order after this mortal life that makes everything clear? I mean, the New Testament has a wonderful phrase, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And it's a natural human desire, not to a purposeless life, a meaningless life. So in the face of this, there are two types of faith. One is the one we've been discussing, which I think is a good faith, that we just don't know. Life is a mystery to us now, but when we die, there is another life. I think that is a good faith.
All right, David,
there's the left does.
Yeah. Well, I want to move to David, I want to move to politics. We're on limited time, so.
Sure.
The direction where this is going, and back to Elizabeth Warren, her tweet today, we need to call it out. Fox News is a hate-for-profit machine that gives a megaphone to racists and conspiracists.
Obviously, she's never watched Fox.
Well.
I mean, she turns it on, and I guess it's the 2 o'clock hour, whenever Shep is on. You know, there are several, actually, Fox people that are very anti-Trump, if that's what she's talking about. She just doesn't watch it. And they are so filled with hate, they want to destroy. I mean, you can't have a conversation. Democracy is about having a conversation rather than, crossing swords and going to war. But the Democratic Party has declared war on a legitimately elected administration. It's secessionist. It's actually treasonous. It sabotages. You know, they go out and they're calling John Bolton, who was on this morning, a warmonger. Now, how does that help America in dealing with its enemies to call the National Security Advisor a warmonger and dismiss him, or to call Trump a white supremacist? How many white supremacists are there in the country? 3,000? When they hold demonstrations, there's 10 times, the number of opponents. They're absolutely negligible.
Well, they're vile people, and one person can obviously create a huge amount of carnage and suffering in the country.
Different.
So that's true.
These people were nuts. And,
they're...
Look, this guy in Ohio, what was he? Was it expelled or suspended from school when he was 17 from having a list of the 10 girls he'd like to rape and the 10 people he'd like to kill. This guy should have been in a mental institution.
I want to play for you what Beto O'Rourke said before you let you go, Michael, about Trump's rhetoric. Beto O'Rourke, let's listen.
I mean, the president has not been shy. He's not been saying this behind closed doors. This is out in the open. You know, all people of one religion, inherently defective and should be banned from the shores of this country. The only modern Western democracy that I can think of that said anything close to this is the Third Reich, Nazi Germany. Talking about human beings as though they are animals, making them subhuman.
This is from a party
Harry Belafonte was comparing America to calling it the Fourth Reich, a decade ago. This is the way the left talks. The left wants to destroy America, so it picks whatever symbol of evil it can, and it tries to pin it on America. you know, he's talking through his hat. First of all, the Muslim, you know, we have an article, or had one yesterday in Front Page Magazine, which is my website, by Daniel Greenfield. Like, in Maryland, Muslims are 1% of the population, but they're 20% of the prison population. And that's true in Washington, D.C. as well. You know, if there is a problem with Islam, if you preach holy war against infidels and everybody who doesn't agree with you is an infidel, that's problematic. What Trump was actually trying to do was impose a ban on six failed terrorist states where we couldn't know if the migrants were coming in, whether they were part of the jihad or not. But to convert that, I mean, I'm embarrassed by the Democrats. I mean, I think it's embarrassing to have a major party with so many people who are liars
now,
and ignoramuses.
Well, it's embarrassing.
They're totally ignorant.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's pathetic. It's transparent. We know what they're doing. They're the anti-freedom party. And they don't want to debate these ideas. They're for open borders, but they don't really want to defend open borders. They just want to call anybody who disagrees with them racist. And it's the utter
crisis, 100%, because they won't change the laws.
No, they refuse to. David Horowitz, the book is Mortality and Faith, Reflections on a Journey Through Time. It's beautifully written, beautiful book. It's on LauraIngram.com and Facebook. David, thank you so much. Let's go to caller from Pennsylvania, Maureen. Maureen, welcome.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you. I just wanted to say the question was about what's happening with society, and my biggest contribution will be that there's no consequences for actions done today.
Yeah, well, lack of personal responsibility has been a problem across the board in our country for a long time. We appreciate it, Maureen. They say home is where the heart is, and the reality is that home is where all of your precious belongings are located. Home is your sanctuary after a hard day's work. Home is a special place where you create memories with your family and your friends. So when you want to protect yourself and your most precious investment, go with the nation's number one smart home security provider, ADT. With ADT Smart Home Security, you'll have a team of professionals monitoring your home 24/7 using the latest innovations to safeguard your property. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com.
The final studies, though, on the assault weapons ban that people point to say it basically was kind of inconclusive. They said there were so many guns, so many assault-type weapons already on the market that it didn't really have a demonstrable effect on the reduction in crime which occurred. There was a reduction in crime, but they can't point at the assault weapons.
Well, that's true, but look, here's a simple proposition. Let's assume it's all absolutely accurate. Do we want to continue it? Even though it may not, you can't point to the fact that it, in fact, had stopped it before. Do you want more of them on the street?
Then Biden, of course, he just admits he's going to take guns away.
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
So, of course, they're going to come take your AR-15. There are 5 to 10 million. We don't really know how many AR-15 style rifles there are in the United States. It's a semi-automatic, meaning each trigger pull is one round, but it looks like a scary gun. And of course, all these guns can be modified. There was an interesting piece in the LA Times last year. The assault weapons ban didn't work. A new version won't either, by John Stokes. And we'll post this on our Facebook page so you understand what this is, you know, what this is actually saying. You can read it when you have time. But the point is this AR-15, which is an open source modular weapon platform, that's the fruit of tens of billions of private and public dollars in small arms research, almost six decades of innovation, is the most easy to use and most lethal gun available to civilians. Those of us who defend the Second Amendment and our right to own guns must reckon with this technological reality. But we can't find common ground with gun safety advocates as long as they use shoddy arguments and manipulated statistics to cloud the debate. A case in point is the widely cited work of Luis Clarevas, a professor at the University of Massachusetts, whose 2016 book, Rampage Nation, Security in America from Mass Shootings, has lately bolstered calls for a renewal of the 94 assault weapons ban, which lapsed in 2004. Senator Feinstein gave President Trump a bar chart attributed to Claire Avis's research at this guns roundtable. Until Claire Avis came along, virtually all researchers had concluded that it was impossible to discern what, if any, positive impact the ban's prohibition of rifles with military-style features had on crime or mass shooting incidents. This is why many gun control advocacy groups, including Sandy Hook Promise, do not include a ban on their list of legislative priorities. The last ban was politically costly for Democrats, as a ProPublica investigation reported in 2014. Gun control experts said there was no evidence that the ban saved lives. So that particular book was touted by all these senators saying, look, this professor did this. Turns out the research was shoddy.
There's no question that his rhetoric has contributed to, at a minimum, of dumbing down the way in which we as a society talk about one another. The way we've always been, look, we've always brought the country together. We've never, you know, we the people, we hold these truths self-evident. He flies in the face of all the basic things that we've never really met the standard. We've never abandoned it before. He looks like he's just flat abandoned the theory that we are one people.
Well, I think the president has said the exact opposite. He wants all people to do better and be better. And that means the inner city cannot be left behind. That means rural America. He wants our cities, our metropolitan areas to be cleaner and safer. And that's why he's done things like prison reform and, of course, opportunity zones. And he's done so much with faith leaders across the country to try to get at the heart of this problem, the social ills that plague the nation. And Biden is himself kind of reaching for anything to hold on to, I think, here in this tragic time. Oh, by the way, Julian Castro is not only just a phenomenal former HUD secretary, but he's also a mind reader.
He never talks in genuine terms about the scourge of white supremacist ideology. He mouths the words. He did that today. But you could tell just watching him that he didn't mean it. He has based his entire political career on fanning the flames of bigotry and division and hate. And I don't think he's going to go back now.
Isn't that amazing? Let's go to Vicky in Pennsylvania. Vicky, welcome.
Hi, Laura. I believe there's numerous reasons for some of these school shootings. I work with children, and I believe it's the breakdown of the family. I believe it's violent video games and kids being able to watch violent videos on YouTube. No religion, kids being on meds at a very young age. There's no accountability. No kids are ever told no. They're entitled. I believe it's just a whole litany of things, and I see it in the school system. I see it in children that I am involved with, and I just think we need to get back to the basics with family and religion and patriotism, and we're lacking that now, and it's very sad.
I think the lack of connection with other human beings and the fact that it's so easy to isolate yourself, and you feel connected because you're on message boards or you're playing games. I'm not saying games cause mass murder. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's easy to not face your problems when you can get lost online. And I guess we all could be, you know, guilty of wasting a lot of time online. You ever notice that you go on YouTube for something and then all of a sudden half hour has gone by? Like, what did I just do? But there are a lot of young people who are just, they're searching. And if you find a sense of belonging in a toxic place, man, you can have real toxic results. And that, I do believe the teen suicide, the increase in teen suicide in this country is just an utter heartbreak. It comes to light every now and then when a celebrity or a famous family loses a child to suicide. But it's that in and of itself is a flashing warning sign to all of us. And for politicians to attribute pathologies to political figures in the United States is just it's damaging to the national psyche and the national conversation. It toxifies it all. It doesn't make it better. We know that. There's no way it makes it better. It makes it worse. And I at some level, I don't think they care. It's all about, as John Legend said, you know, the singer songwriter had the most vile things to say about the president over the weekend. Anything is justified. If you're talking about Trump, you can say anything because why? Because they say he's Hitler. So you can say anything about Hitler. Everyone agrees that Hitler's the most evil person ever. And you know, when he committed suicide in the bunker, then everybody could celebrate. So that's how they treat Trump and frankly most people who support him. But that's like 100 million people in the country. You're basically saying 100 million people in the country are awful, racist, terroristic, terrorist-inspiring people. I don't think that's a winning argument. I think it's a very negative argument. Everybody loves summer. You know that. Except when it comes to sleeping. And nothing's worse than a night in heat-trapping sheets with no way to get cool. Isn't that the worst? You toss and turn. No one wants that. Well, that's why I use Sheiks. Now, Sheiks has patented sleep tech fabrics. They breathe 10 times better than traditional cotton sheets, and that's why they keep you cool. They draw moisture away from your body that helps keep you dry, and that helps you get a deeper, more restorative night's sleep. Nothing compares to the comfort of Sheiks. The softness is unbelievable. My kids love them. And you're going to wake up feeling recharged, ready for a great day. And by the way, they have deep pockets as well, so they fit your high mattresses. If you have those kind of wide, thick mattresses, it fits them perfectly. So don't wait. It's very easy to do. Just go to trysheeks.com/Laura. It's trysheeks.com/Laura. And use the code Laura to get 25% off your purchase. Again, trysheeks.com/Laura, code Laura. Sleep better, be better with Sheiks. Denise in Texas is on the line. Denise, welcome.
Thank you, Laura. So I believe the shootings were caused due to a combination of factors, the breakdown of values in the family, the loss of American pride and identity, the glorification of crime by the media for clicks and ad revenue, and finally, angry and divisive rhetoric from politicians like AOC, The Squad, Ted Lieu, who feed on angry and confused people.
I think there's a lot of, you know, room for feisty political debates. And we should have feisty political debates. That's part of our representative democracy and part of freedom. But I would agree. They are doing regularly what they accuse Trump of doing. What they're really angry at, I think, is themselves, though. They're angry at themselves because they couldn't beat him. He still has, 45% approval rating. They can't figure that out. They can't win on open borders. Most people don't want open borders. Most people don't agree that we should have, basically no penalties for coming into our country illegally. Most people don't believe in the progressive, far-left, gender fluidity movement they're pushing. Most people just don't believe that. That most people, they love humanity, but they don't love all the far-left policies that are being pushed. That's just not where most Americans are. And I think that is so annoying to the left. They've just given up on trying to convince people that they're right, and they just go straight to demonization. They can't really argue, in other words, that the Green New Deal is going to put more money in your pocket, that you're going to be better off and have a higher standard of living with Medicare for all. They're not really arguing that. Instead, if you disagree with them, then you want to take health care away from poor people. Instead, if you disagree with them, you're anti-immigrant, which couldn't be further from the truth for most Americans. They love the patriotism and the love of country of our legal immigrants in the United States. And we love people who come here and want to be part of our great representative democracy. So it's just a constant game of demonization. So again, the finger is always pointed back at you. You're wagging your finger at others. And in fact, you play the demonization game all day long. Is that going to win in 2020? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's where Americans are. And I think they're going to be shocked, as they always are, in a couple of weeks when a poll comes out that shows that Donald Trump's popularity is probably pretty much the same as it was before they did the latest round of demonization. That's my view. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast. I want to thank all of our sponsors again supporting this show: Genucel, Pluto TV, ADT Home Security, and Sheiks. Remember, America now and forever, the Laura Ingraham Podcast. See you next time.